for us. David and Norma, I guess. Put up your hand if you need a card, and I think there are pens in front of you in the seats. Three on the other side, David. Brian. Did you find a pen? Oh, Sophia. One. Good? Okay. I'm not going to do the read a scripture. I'm going to use it as part of my message today. About a month ago, or about 6 weeks ago now, I had the privilege to be part of a team within our region to interview folks who are going through to be licensed lay worship leaders, and they have to be licensed every year. So this process takes place on a regular basis, but I've never done the interviewing. So for about an hour and a half, we interviewed each candidate and quizzed them on their process, their theology, what they believed, how they went about writing, and that sort of thing. And it was a great experience to spend time with each of these wonderful lay leaders who have been open to the call to serve the church in this capacity as worship leaders. They are not ministers, but they take four courses, and they can come to any church within the region and lead worship, preach. They cannot do communion, they can't do weddings, or weddings, but they can come and lead worship. And this is becoming more and more important in the church as communities of faith all over the country are without ministers. I think this is the beginning of a new normal where more and more congregations will continue to work without ministers in their community of faith. So this is a great ministry that these people have been called to. The early church did not have paid professional ministers. They met together to pray, to sing, to worship, to talk about their faith, to support each other and build each other up. Now, they did have leaders, of course, some who preached, but they never had paid preachers. I think that we are moving in some ways back to this model. Paid ministers are actually not a requirement for a congregation. A congregation can work and thrive without a minister, much as some congregations don't think they can. In some ways, as we move towards paid professional trained ministry, it became a sort of convenience that allowed Christians not to use their God-given gifts for the building up of the church. They kind of transferred that all over to paid ministry. We're all ministers, whether we're paid or not in the church. We all have been given gifts by God to build the church up. And it is our calling to use whatever gifts we have to build the church. And if we don't, the church will flounder. Which brings me back to these interviews. One of the questions that I love to ask people who preach, it wasn't on the list of questions I was supposed to ask, but I usually go off script anyway. I love to ask questions. And one of the questions that I asked each interviewee is, what is your particular message? What is your message? In theological school, I was told that every preacher has only one good message. That is, we have one core message in us that one way or another probably gets its way into each sermon we preach. because it's something that we are. It's something that we believe. It's something that is core to us and that we want people to really understand about faith, about God. We have that one core message. So I ask the lay leaders, what is your one message? And to my surprise, with one exception, they all knew what it was. They were used to preaching, and they preached that message over and over again. I believe that not just every minister, but every Christian has one good message in them. And that if you thought about it, you would know deep down what that message is. It's that one thing that you know to be true for you, that you want people to know. Quite often, the message that we give is the thing that we need, we're working toward. That works itself in us and through us and out into others. There is good news that you alone can share with the world because you have lived and experienced it yourself, or it's something that you need. When preachers start to put a sermon together, we try to boil down the message that we are trying to convey, down to that one core idea, and then we build a sermon around it. Something that we think gets to the heart of the gospel and hopefully goes to not only challenge people but gets to the heart of people as well. So I'm going to ask you this morning to explore what that core message is for you. Jesus commissioned his disciples, all believers in Jesus, to go out and proclaim the good news to everyone. He said this in Mark, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation." To everyone. Go into the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Every disciple, all who follow Christ, each one of us has good news to share. And then in 2 Timothy 4, he says, "In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching." I happen to think the time has come almost that people will not put up with sound teaching, but having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, be sober in everything, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, which is the one who goes out and gives the message, that's an evangelist, and carry out that ministry fully. Our ministry is to proclaim the message in who we are and in what we say. Tell people what you know because the world really needs it. There are so many out there who proclaim false news or bad news. There's a lot of bad news. I always make the mistake of reading the news first thing in the morning. At least I don't do it at night. We are increasingly in our society listening to people we agree with and discounting those we don't agree with. That's not good news. We need good news of a kind that builds everyone up, no matter who they are. So what's your message? I'm going to ask you to create your message in 12 words or less. 12 words or less. A core statement around which you would build a sermon. What is your Christ-based good news message that you think the world really needs to hear from you because you know it to be true? I'm going to give you a bit of an example because I did mine just earlier. I did a little background. So I'm going to invite you to, on one side of your card, write some of the things you know, some of the things you think, some of the things you believe, some of the things, not that you need the world to hear, but that you need to hear, that you think the world could benefit from. So I wrote on one side of my card this. I'm not going to give you my core message. I'll give you that after. But this is the process. I am imperfect. Humans cannot seem to get it together by themselves. I am in need of grace and healing in my life. And life lived on the superficial material level is not enough. That's kind of some of the background to what the answer was for my core message. So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to think about what your core message is. I'm going to invite you, if you are comfortable or brave enough, to share whatever your message is. Yes, Betty, great, thanks.
We are all equal. I was going to put created equal, and then I thought, no, we'd change over the years. And sometimes people put us down because of those changes, but we are all equal.
We're all equal. Okay, thanks.
Think not of what I think I deserve, but what others require.
That usually your message is lived out in your life, and I think that's true in this case. So, both of you. So, that's very cool. Anybody else? Gail.
Be unapologetically and authentically yourself. Show kindness, love, and care to others.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The ancestors from above soulfully watch over us and guide us.
Oh, lovely. Okay. We are watched over and guided. Lovely. Marion. Okay.
I put kindness is next to loveliness. And I think I've lived my life that way. And probably it's
kindness is next to godliness. I was thinking about that this morning when I thought something around cleanliness is next to godliness. You know that old saying? It's not. That's not biblical.
Kindness.
Yes. Anybody else?
I didn't like the 12-word thing.
That's okay.
So
I expect always somebody to break it.
I put sub-points below it. So mine is the power of understanding each other's stories fully, because if we don't, that's when we have dehumanization. We fail to see God in each other, but when we can understand fully everyone we're interacting with, then we can do the work of God's love.
We can do the work if we understand. Yeah. That's a brain, what is that called, a brain map or something?
Mind map.
Mind map, yeah, okay. That's what Patty's got in hers, mind map. Anybody else want to share? Dean.
Yeah, I've said the good news lived out in the world is doing justice with all God's people.
Oh, yes. Anybody else?
I said stop and think, have empathy, be non-judgmental, be generous with your time to others, and love, be kind to yourself and others.
Yeah. Good.
Faith is based on the four C's: communication, community, care, and compassion.
Oh, yes. Four C's of faith. Bill. I got my watch on. I'm getting my...
The exercise.
Thanks, Bill.
Have an attitude of gratitude.
Oh, yeah. Gratitude. That's another big theme. Anybody else? Still.
I kind of morphed here. listening to everybody, what I had was much the same as everybody else's, but then I started thinking about perspective, because that's a word that I think about a lot lately, and opening ourselves up to a broader perspective, because narrow-mindedness is hurting us.
Great. Anybody else? Fantastic. Everybody had a message here. I know everybody had a message. I'm going to switch over, Keith. Here's my point. You each gave such amazing messages in just a short amount of time and a few words. If you do not share your unique message with the world, nobody else is going to share it for you, because it's your message. And this is what Jesus was saying. Go out with your message into the world and share the message that you have to share. Otherwise, the world will miss out on your particular message. And we each have one. I feel very, very privileged and very humbled by being able to preach every Sunday, because I think there are a lot more people who have message to preach than me. I get to do it in front of you, but every single one of you has a message that you share today that you need to share with the world. And if you ever want to preach, come and let me know. Mine was, life in Christ leads to healing and wholeness. Everybody had a different message. Everybody needs to share their message. In Scripture, we have very short sermons by Jesus. Have you noticed that in Scripture, Jesus never preached a long sermon like most preachers do? Maybe you'd prefer that for me too. He didn't. The only long sermons we have a little bit longer are by Paul, but not by Jesus. And when you see something in Scripture that says the Sermon on the Mount, that is not literally a sermon that Jesus preached altogether. They're sayings of Jesus that were collected together to create that. Jesus preached very short sermons. In fact, he lived them more. But here are a few that you probably know. He said in John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. You know it. Love God and love others as you love yourself. Those are Jesus' sermons. As we gather at the table today for communion, remember this message that Jesus shared on the night before he died, the one that guides all that we do in the church and in our ministry and in life, hopefully. He said, this is my mandate. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That encapsulates his whole ministry. So, as we come to the table, let's take just a moment to prepare our hearts to come to the table. If you want to, you can spend a few moments in confession, or you can give thanks, but just to empty yourself of yourself and come to the table prepared to receive. Let's just take a few moments to do that.